Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yevamos is daf Chaf on Yotes Amud Aleph. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf, we learn Lezecher Nishmas Los Lupin Zaltzman. We are continuing where we left off yesterday. We're in the middle of a discussion. The discussion is complicated, but let's just do an organizational chart of the discussion, and it'll become a little bit clear. We started it just a short couple days ago. The second paragraph of Yevamos, and the second paragraph of Yevamos starts its discussion with a. For a little more analysis on the Eishes Achav Shelo Yabolamo, non-contemporary brothers. When two brothers are non-contemporary, that means that they did not live together on this planet. One died before the other was born. So then they are not Achim Yachtav. They never were together. And as a result of that, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Because there's no mitzvah of Yibum, so therefore his brother's widow, if his brother dies, his brother's widow to him is just Eishes Ach. It's just an Ervo. With no mitzvah of Yibum, and as a result of that, they cannot do the mitzvah of Yibum. There are two scenarios which the Mishnah paint out in terms of Eishes Achav Shelo Yabolamo. The first scenario is described on Yuzayin Amud Aleph in the first Mishnah, and the second scenario is described in Yud Ches Amud Beis in the second Mishnah of this parak. In the first scenario, so Reuben and Shimon are contemporary brothers. Reuben's married to a woman. Reuben dies. And then Shimon is going to do Yibum. But before Shimon does Yibum, Levi is born. So Levi is born, and upon his birth, there is a woman who is a Yevama who was married to a brother that he was not contemporary with. This is what we refer to as Nolad V'achar Kach Yabam. First Levi was born, and then Shimon afterwards did Yibum. In such a scenario, the Mishnah says that because this woman to Levi is Eishes Achav Shelo Yabolamo, therefore, she is to Levi an erva, and therefore, he does not do the mitzvah of Yibum. She's an erva to him. And by the way, as we said time and again since the beginning of the Masechta, if Shimon had any co-wives, they're also going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum because of Tzaras erva. Then in Yuches Amud Beis, we had almost an identical scenario, but with only one change. And that is that first Shimon did Yibum, and then afterwards Levi was born. So this is what we refer to as Yibum v'achar kach nolad. So in this scenario over here, we had in the Mishnah machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. Tanakhama says, this too is Eishes Achav Shelo Yabolamo. When Levi was born, Reuben was already dead, and so therefore they're non-contemporary brothers. Therefore, the widow of Reuben is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum, and by exemption we of course mean that she's an erva, and therefore, as well, in this case, no mitzvah of Yibum. Rabbi Shimon says, no, this case is totally different. Rabbi Shimon, the Mishnah says, you can't compare this case to the first case. In this case, when Levi was born, the widow was already taken by Shimon. Shimon first married the widow through Yibum, and then Levi was born. So this case is not the same as the previous case. As the Gemara later on, we're going to quote a brisa later on. The key words over here is Matzah Beheter. When Levi was born, he sees this woman. This woman's Beheter. It's married to Shimon, not a widow of Reuven. So Rabbi Shimon says, no. In this case over here, There's no patur. It's not Eishes Achav Shelo Yabolamo, and therefore there would be a mitzvah of Yibum. He can marry. Rabbi Shimon said in the Mishnah, Miyabem Leza Mem Shirtz, he can marry whichever one he wants, or Cholas Leza Mem Shirtz, so do Chalitza to whichever one he wants. Good. Those are the two Mishnayos. Okay. So far, so good. And then we have the opinion of Rabbi Oshia. Rabbi Oshia says, not only does Rabbi Shimon argue in the second case, which as we pointed out yesterday, is Ma'od Mistaber. It's logical. Rabbi Shimon's argument in the second case is very logical. In fact, it's so logical, later this morning we're going to see the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. Why would the Chachamim argue? It seems to be a very good point by Rabbi Shimon, that when Levi's born, this woman is already married to Shimon. So why should she be considered Eishes Achav Shelo Yabolamo? Okay, we're going to ask that question later on this morning. But in the meantime, however, Rabbi Oshia says, not only does Rabbi Shimon argue in the second Mishnah, he also argues in the first Mishnah as well. Now, granted, the obvious point the Gemara already made is how come Rabbi Shimon wasn't mentioned in the first Mishnah? So the Gemara says he let the Chachamim make their first two points, and then he didn't want to interject. And then he made his point, but the truth of the matter is he's cholak on both cases. So that even the first case, even the case of Nola v'achar kach yabam, Rabbi Shimon is going to say this is not the case of Eishes Achav Shelo Yabolamo. That's the opinion of Rabbi Oshia. What's the svar behind Rabbi Oshia? So this we saw yesterday. So the svar behind Rabbi Oshia is as follows. Zika, as we pointed out, is strong, is powerful. Rabbi Oshia says that according to Rabbi Shimon, Zika is so powerful, it's like they're already married. Meaning when Reuben dies, the moment that Reuben dies, and he leaves the widow, and especially in this case where there's only one surviving brother, upon the death of Reuven, who is only Shimon, so Shimon has a zika to her. Shimon's the only one who's owning that zika, and what the Gemara is arguing on behalf of Rabbi Shimon, what Rabbi Oshi is arguing is, that zika is kikunusa. It's as if they're already married. So since they're already married, so now she's not the widow of Reuven upon the death of Reuven, but the moment that Reuven dies, this is already a big idea to digest. The moment that Reuven dies, she's status-wise considered to be the wife of Shimon, even though Shimon did not actualize the mitzvah of Yibam as of yet. If this is a correct way to view it, so then Rabbi Yoshia says good. So now Rabbi Shimon not only argues in the second Mishnah, but argues in the first Mishnah as well, because even when Levi comes into this world, and even though Shimon has not yet done Yibam, it's ki'ilu, it's as if Yibam was already done, because the Zika is that powerful, it's that strong. Okay, that's Rabbi Yoshia. What we did yesterday, and we're about to finish today, is the Gemara is trying to see whether or not this idea of Rabbi Yoshia is correct. Ultimately, by the end of today, we're going to say it does not seem to stand. Rabbi Yoshia's idea that Rabbi Shimon argues not only in the second Mishnah, but in the first Mishnah as well, that doesn't seem to stand, but that's coming up a little bit later as well. In the meantime, however, we're now just challenging Rabbi Yoshia. So the Gemara says like this, picking up exactly where we left off yesterday, the Od Meis of Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia asks, now don't be confused over here, as I was. Rav Oshia is challenging Rabbi Oshia. They're not the same person, right? In fact, Rabbi Natan right over here says, previously it was Rabbi Oshia, and this is Rav Oshia. Okay. But let's take a look at the case. Gimel Achim, there are three brothers, Mehem Nesun, Shtei Achayos. Now, of the three brothers, two of them are married to two sisters, O Isha Bita, or a mother and a daughter, O Isha Bas Bita, or a mother and a granddaughter, O Isha Ubas Bino, or a mother and a granddaughter, just the difference over here being granddaughter through a daughter or granddaughter through a son. Either way. Now, so in other words, the simple pshat in the braisa is that of the three brothers, two of them are married to two related women, either their sisters, mother-daughter, mother-granddaughter, okay, which two brothers can do that. Meaning, again, it doesn't make for the most functional families, but that doesn't concern us. It can happen. Now, in the event that, let's say the two brothers die, and they fall to the third brother for Yibam consideration, so he can't do Yibam to both. They're sisters. They can't do Yibam to one of them. Why not? Achos Zekukaso. Because each one of them is the Zekuka, is connected through Yibam, is a sister of someone who is connected to him through Yibam. This is the idea of Achos Zekukaso. We've seen this idea already play out a number of times. And so therefore, rabbinically, he can't do Yibam to either. But at the same time, they still have a Zika. So what does he do to resolve the Zika? He does chalitza to both. Good. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, pater. Rabbi Shimon says, no, there's an exemption. Okay. Now, Isaka dacha katsav Rabbi Shimon Zika kekenusa damya. So the Gemara says, now, Rabbi Oshia. This is Rav Oshia attacking Rabbi Oshia. Now you, Rabbi Oshia, let's think about this. You're proposing the idea that Zika is so strong, it's like marriage. So the Gemara says, well, in this particular case, let's think about it. When one of them dies, meaning the two brothers are going to end up dying. But right now, let's assume they didn't die at the same time. I'm foreshadowing a Gemara coming up in just a moment. But let's assume they didn't die simultaneously. One died and then the second one died. So when the first one died, so now who's got the Zika for the widow of the first brother who died? So the third brother, let's call him Levi. So the third brother's got the Zika. And he's the only one who owns the Zika. Because Shimon doesn't have a Zika, it's his wife's sister. So Levi is the only one who owns a Zika. So according to you, Rabbi Shimon, shouldn't we be perfect? Meaning, and again, the idea is that Zika is so strong, it's as if they're already married. So if and when Shimon dies, so what? Meaning, it's true that what Shimon now is doing is leaving a widow for Yibam consideration, but according to you, Rabbi Shimon, according to you, Rabbi Oshia, in your explanation, Rabbi Shimon, she should be totally dismissed based on the fact that Levi's Zika with the first widow is so strong, it's as if they're already married. Okay? And meanwhile, Rabbi, what does Rabbi Shimon say? Rabbi Shimon doesn't say any of that. Rabbi Shimon just simply says, Potter, exemption. Okay? So it doesn't seem, this is Rav Oshia now, in attack mode, it doesn't seem that this idea behind Rabbi Oshia is correct, that Zika is so strong that it's kiknusa, it's as if they're married. So the Gemara goes on, Amar Rav Amar, my Potter, nami Potter b'shnia. So the Gemara tries to defend. The Gemara says, well, you know what Potter means? Potter means that the second widow is going to be exempt. But the first one he can marry. Gemara says, no, it's a difficult shot. But we have a brisa, and the brisa says, now not the brisa that we quoted, but it's okay, it's another brisa. And the other brisa says, Rabbi Shimon's Potter, both of the women, both widows of both of the brothers. So Amar Rava, Shnei Shebezugzeh, V'Shnei Shebezugzeh. So the Gemara, so Rava, again, in a, just an attempt to defend Rabbi Oshia, so Rava says, well, maybe Shnia means the second of the pair. And right now, Rava's envisioning something that we did not envision when we originally read the Brisa. When we originally read the Brisa, how do we thought the case was? It was easy. Oh, easy. In our context, easy. Three brothers, two of them are married to two related women. Either they were sisters, mother-daughter, grandmother-granddaughter. Either one, any one of those cases. That's what we thought. What Rava now is envisioning is a scenario in which what the Brisa was describing was, is that these two brothers were married, each one of them, to four women. And each one of the four women is related to one of the four women of the other brother. What Rava's envisioning is, talk about now, an unbelievable family structure. Reuven's married to four wives. Shimon's married to four wives. And one of the wives is Reuven's, the sister to the wife of Shimon. One of the second wife of Reuven is the mother to the second wife of Shimon. One of the wives of Reuven is the grandmother to one of the wives of Shimon. In other words, we are now describing a scenario in which there are eight women up for Yibum consideration. And what the Gemara now is suggesting is, well, maybe Shnia means just simply the other pair, the other of the pair. Maybe that's what he means. So the Gemara says, again, very difficult. The Gemara says, Katai Rava ba'arba zuge. Rava made a mistake. The Gemara says it bluntly. Meaning Rava thinks that that's what we're describing, what I just described. Chara de o katani. First of all, the Gemara says, read the Brisa. The Brisa says, oh. It's not and. The conjunction is not and. The conjunction is or. So the case is each one of them is only married to one woman. That's first of all. And if you are right, Rava, and you think that it's not the conjunction is not or, and even if we were going to argue the conjunction is and, how many women are up for Yibum consideration? Eight. If you're telling me that only half of them are, he's going to be Miyabim, but half of eight is four, not two. So the Gemara says, he's offering what is a very difficult shot. The Otanya, and furthermore, says the Gemara, again, just to reinforce this idea that Rav is not right in his understanding of the Brisa, the Ode, I'm sorry, just lost my spot, the Otanya, Rabbi Shimon Potter b'Shteihem. We're going to have another Brisa that speaks to the same exact scenario. Again, let's reconstruct the scenario. Three brothers, Reuben and Shimon are married to two sisters. And Reuben and Shimon die, leaving these two sisters for Yibam consideration for Levi. So again, the Tanakhama says, you have to do Chalitza to both of them. And Rabbi Shimon says, they're exempt. And now here the Brisa is describing in more detail Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon potter b'shteihem min Chalitza min Yibam shenem Rabbi Yishal achosa lo zikach litzror. You cannot take a woman and her sister for Yibam. B'shah shenas yutzar zu lazu. In a scenario where the two sisters are going to end up becoming your yavamas. Lo yehei lecha likuchen. There's no marriage. Meaning, not that when I say no marriage, marriage, there is no need for marriage because there's not going to even be a zika. I feel ba'achas man with either one of them. In other words, I don't know if I can explain this logically, and perhaps there's no way to explain this logically, but it's clear from the way he darshans the pasuk that both of the women are going to be totally exempt from the mitzvah of yibum. Not like what Rava wanted to suggest, that that one of them he's going to marry and the other one he's going to let go. But no, but the exemption is going to be for both of the sisters. or the mother and the daughter, or the mother and the granddaughter. So Ella Amar Ravashi, the Nafa Bazuach Zuach Anami. So Ravashi says again, just one more attempt to defend Rabbi Yoshia. Maybe if the two brothers died one after another, so then maybe you're right. Maybe over here we're describing a scenario where the brothers died simultaneously. I know in legal documents they write for such right, they write for such scenarios. So maybe we're describing a scenario where the brothers died simultaneously, and maybe there, because the brothers died simultaneously, there we're going to apply the drasha of he's going to be exempt from both of them. But if they died one after the other, so then no, maybe Rabbi Yoshi is right. Maybe then the zika of the first one is so powerful, it's as if they're already married. So then he could do yibum to the first widow, having then to totally exempt the second widow. Rabbi Shimon Sofer like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And to make this argument, you're going to have to throw in one more caveat, and that is that Rabbi Shimon subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Damar Eshelot Samson, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that we do consider the possibility that things can concur simultaneously. Okay, now, right, that Rashi points out the Gemara in Bechoros has a lengthy discussion about this topic of Efshalat Samsim, whether or not events can occur simultaneously. Rabbi Gamliel says they can. Others argue. So even to entertain this idea, we have to subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, and now, where does that leave us? At this juncture, at this point in time, what we have right now is Rabbi Oshia, who says that when Rabbi Shimon argues, not only does he argue in the second mission, he argues in the first mission as well. To put it but to just restate, in both cases, on Yudzayin Amud Aleph, when it talks about Nola v'achar kach Yabam, on Yudchesim and Beis, Yabam v'achar kach Nola, in both scenarios, Rabbi Shimon says, there is not going to be a mitzvah of Yibam, because in both cases, it is Eishes Achiv, in both cases, Rabbi Shimon says, it's not Eishes Achiv Shalo Yabo Olamo, in case number two, for obvious reasons, because when Levi was born, this woman was already married to Shimon. She actually was married to Shimon through Yibam. And in the first case, because the Zika is so strong, it's Ki'ilu, it's as if she's already married to Shimon. This is all the proposal of Rabbi Oshia, and that was all step one. Should have done this yesterday. And now we move on to Rav Papa, and Rav Papa is going to be the counter opinion. Rav Papa Amar B'Yavam V'Achakach No'la Palag Rabbi Shimon. B'No V'Achakach Yavam Lo Palag. So Rav Papa says no. Rabbi Shimon only argues in the second Mishnah and does not argue in the first Mishnah. And yes, there are two Mishnahs, and both Mishnahs are written on behalf of the Chachamim. And the style of the Mishnah is I will tell you a quote unquote bigger Chiddush, and then I'll tell. Other way around. Thank you. Now I'll tell you the quote unquote the smaller Chiddush. And then I'll tell you the bigger Chiddush. Okay. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Papa. And Vitiyufta de Rabbi Oshia. And now after the Gemara lays out the two viewpoints of the Amoraim, Rabbi Oshia and Rav Papa. Rabbi Oshia says that Rabbi Shimon argues in both Mishnahs. Rav Papa says that Rabbi Shimon only argues in the second Mishnah. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go through a Braisa. The Braisa is going to give us four scenarios. And we're going to see in scenario number three, clearly it sides with Rav Papa. And it's going to refute Rabbi Oshia. Case number one is this braisa. Shnei achim ba'olam echad o'maisecha mehem b'lov lad v'amad ha'sheni azel lasos maimer b'yivimto v'lo hispik lasos b'aimer b'maimer ashenu lo ach umes. Case number one. Two brothers living in this world. One, Reuven dies and without a child. And the surviving brother Shimon is wanting to do maimer but doesn't get around to it. To which the Gemara later on is going to ask, why do we need to know? Attempted mimer. Either you did it or you didn't do it. The Gemara later on is going to be bothered by that. So, and ach nolo lo ach, and then the brother was born, umes, and Shimon dies. So Shimon, and Shimon had a wife, but he didn't do anything to Reuven's widow. Zero. So the first widow is the widow of Reuven. She's nothing more than the widow of Reuven. And so therefore she clearly goes away. She clearly is exempt from the mitzvah of Yibam and Chalitza. As far as Shimon's widow is concerned, well, Shimon and Levi were contemporary, and therefore Levi can perform the mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza to Shimon's widow. That's case number one, super straightforward. Case number two, Asa b'maimer. So case number two, every case we're just going to kind of like up the ante a little bit. So in the second case now, so Shimon actually does maimer, accomplishes it. Now again, what is maimer? We've said this already now a number of times. Maimer is the Kiddushin Derabbanan of Yibum. It's the Chachamim instituting a form of a betrothal for the Yavama. According to the Torah, the Yibum just does Bia, and that accomplishes the mitzvah. But by Maimer, but the Chachamim wanted this to look a little bit more like marriage, and so therefore they instituted this Maimer. It only operates on a Derabbanan level. And so therefore, at the point of Maimer, she's not actually married to her Yavama, but it does something. So what does it do? Asa ba Maimer v'achar kach noel ach, osha noel ach v'achar kach asa ba Maimer, umes. So here now, in the second case, so the only thing that Shimon does is Maimer to Reuven's widow. And he doesn't get beyond that point in time. And here in the second case, we're entertaining either Levi was born before the Maimer was done, or Levi was born after the Maimer was done. But Shimon dies, so Shimon actually never does Yibum itself. So here in the second case, the Tanakhama will tell you, here's what's going to happen. Here in this case, Maimer didn't do anything on a Torah level. So this is really the widow of Reuven. So Levi, as far as widow as Reuven is concerned, obviously totally exempt. They're non-contemporary brothers. But what about Shimon's wife and Shimon's widow? So here, he can only do Chalitza, he cannot do Yibum. Why? Because Maimer. Maimer created enough of a connection between Reuven's widow and Shimon so that at least it's going to cut off Levi's ability to do Yibum with Shimon's widow. I was going to say, replay that line a couple more times. You'll hear it a couple more times if you replay it. Good. And then, again, just let's follow. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, b'yaso chilatza shel sha'achas mehem poteres sarasa. And Rabbi Shimon says, you do bi'or chalitza with one of them, and later in the Gemara we're going to identify which one. It's not arbitrary. Poteret sarasa will excuse the tzara. Okay. Achalos labalas maimer lo nifter atzara. And if he were to do chalitza, if Levi were to do chalitza to the one who received maimer, meaning Reuven's widow, so then it doesn't affect her co-wife at all. We already explained Rabbi Shimon once before, but let's say it again. Rabbi Shimon, how does he view maimer? So the Chachamim view maimer as a quasi-marriage, meaning it does a little bit of marriage, if that makes sense. You know, if we can grasp that idea. But according to Shimon, Maimer is all or nothing. He doesn't know, but it's one of the two. So what Maimer accomplished either is that it created a full marriage, or it didn't do anything. I know that he's vacillating between two extremes. I know that's weird. I'm acknowledging. It's difficult to understand. But he's vacillating between two extremes. So let's from Rabbi Shimon's standpoint, now let's think about it. If Maimer created a total kinyan between Shimon and Reuven's widow, so what does that make her? It makes her now Shimon's wife. If Maimer did nothing, so then what is she? She's Reuven's widow. So now, so Shimon did Maimer, which is all or nothing, and then Shimon died and he didn't do the mitzvah of Yibum. So now, Levi is looking at his options. So Levi's basically going to take Shimon's wife and do Yibum. What about the fact that she is the co-wife of, what if she's the co-wife of the other woman, meaning Reuven's widow? Okay, great. If she's the co-wife of Reuven's widow, you only do Yibum with one of the wives. You don't do Yibum with both. What if she's not the co-wife of Reuven's widow? What if Reuven's widow is just that, or just Reuven's widow? Okay, she has an exemption because of Eish Tzachiv Shalai Yabolomo. So basically, Rabbi Shimon says, because I believe Maimer is either all or nothing, so therefore, on either side of that equation, Levi will be allowed to do Yibum with Shimon's with Shimon's widow. Good.
Why did Rabbi Shimon cares about Maimer when
well, the, I mean, the Gemara. Well, again, our Zika was our understanding of Rabbi Shimon. When I say our, I mean Rabbi Yoshi's understanding. The Gemara was bothered yesterday exactly by your question. Meaning, how can you tell me that Zika is a critical issue when it's clear over here that the Rabbi Shimon Maimer is a critical issue? That's one of the reasons why they ended up rejecting Rabbi Yoshi. Okay, good. And then case number four. Case number three. Kansa Umeis. Now in case number three, here we go. We're now describing the scenario of Reuben's wife died and Shimon married her. And then Shimon died. And afterwards the brother was born. Or let's say the brother was born and then afterwards he married her. Umeis. And then Shimon dies. So both of them are going to be exempt. The first one because it's the classic case of this being the widow of non-contemporary brothers. And the second one because she's a co-wife of such a woman. Good. And this is now what this is basically a reenactment of what? The first Mishnah. Now in this third case over here, do you hear Rabbi Shimon saying anything? Rabbi Shimon argued in the second case. As we'll see in just a moment, Rabbi Shimon's going to argue in the fourth case. What's Rabbi Shimon doing over here? Silence. Compliance. He agrees. So this brisa right here, I mean, we could stop right here. Obviously, we're going to go on. But you see right here in this brisa that Rabbi Shimon is in agreement to the Chachamim on this scenario. And again, a proof to Rav Papa that Rabbi Shimon does not argue in the first case. And finally, case number four, Kansav and Olah Lo'ach. First, Shimon marries Reuben's widow. Then then Levi's born. Ve'achar kach meis, and then Shimon dies. Shtein peturos menachalitza menayibam. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says this is also a shetachah shalaya bolamo. Meaning this is Mishnah number two of our Mishnayos. This is Yavam ve'achar kach nolad. Rabbi Shimon Omer ho ba matzah beheter v'lo amda alav sha'achas b'iser miyaben leizem em shiirtza ocholot leizem em shiirtza. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, what can't be. In this case, when Levi was born, she wasn't Reuven's widow. When Levi was born, she was Shimon's wife. So Shimon and Levi are contemporary brothers. So this is not an eish v'achas shalaya b'olamo. This is a wife of a contemporary brother. So you do yibam or you do chalitza. Good. So, and now the Gemara is going to make the obvious observation, which we already made. Habava de Sefer Laman Ketanila. The third case of the Braisa. So, who is that written on behalf of? Ilem al Rabbi Meir Ketanila Mechti, lo shanu al Rabbi Meir, ben Yav Marchakach Nola, ben Olam Vachakach Yavam. Rabbi Meir, by the way, parenthetically, Rabbi Meir is the Chachamim. Meaning, we've been simply saying the Tanakhama. Okay, so it's Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says there's no difference between whether or not Levi was born before or after Shimon did Yibam. La'arvinu v'lisninu. So if you're writing it on behalf of Rabbi Meir, the two cases are for him the same. Don't make it case number three and case number four. Just combine the two. Elalav Rabbi Shimon. So it must be that this case was written specifically for Rabbi Shimon to make the point that in this case Rabbi Shimon will agree that it's Eishes Acher Shalavi B'Olamo. He argues in case number four, which is a case of first Shimon was Miyabem, then Levi was born. He argues in that case, but in case number three, where first Levi was born, then Shimon did Yibam, he does not argue. Shema Mina. So what do we see from here? That Rav Papa seems to be more correct, and that Rabbi Shimon only argues in the second Mishnah, not in the first Mishnah. Ad Kan. So again, structurally, the way the Gemara works, we have two Mishnayos. Rabbi Shimon argues in the second Mishnah. Question, does Rabbi Shimon argue in the first Mishnah as well? So Rabbi Yoshia says, yes, he does. Rav Papa says, no, he doesn't. And the Gemara concludes, like Rav Papa, that Rabbi Shimon does not argue in the first Mishnah.
So what is Rabbi Papa saying about Rabbi Shimon's Zika?
Rabbi Shimon would say that Zika is not like marriage. Okay, what is it like? We'll leave that open-ended. But what degree Zika works according to Rabbi Shimon? Okay, good. But it's not right. It's not like Rabbi Yoshia views it, like it's marriage. Amar. Okay, now, as long as we quoted this brisa with the four cases, so the Gemara wants to cross the T's, dot the I's, and go over each one of these cases just to understand each case a little bit better. Amar Amar Hashem Lassos Maimer Bivinto Velo Yispik Lassos Maimer Bivinto Hashem Ol Lo'ach Umeis Rishon Yosem Misha Misha Eishas Achir Shalai Yebolamo Ushnia Cholassos Omeis Yabemis. Case number one of the Braisa, where Shimon dies having done nothing. But the Braisa is very strange in the way that it formulates. The Braisa says, well, Shimon wanted to do Maimer. Okay, that's nice. Good. I'm glad he wanted to do the right thing, but when we're learning a Braisa, either he did or he didn't do it. Why is the Braisa saying, my amad umay lo hispik? What does that mean? He wanted to do Maimer, but he didn't do it. So he avid avid, he lo avid lo avid. Let's make it cut and dry. Right? We're learning law. Either you did or you didn't do it. So ella amad midata velo hispik midata, ella bakarcha. So the Gemara says, well, you know what it means? It means that he did Maimer, but she wasn't interested. Okay, now, Udalo Karebi. Now, here we go. We've gone over this information before, but let's say this again. There are extenuating circumstances where the Yavama is allowed to say, no, thank you. Mukashchin, we talked about earlier, where the potential Yavam is just clearly revolting and clearly disgusting. So, Losach Som Shor Bedisha, right? You remember that Gemara we did earlier? So, in that case, so then the Yavama can refuse. But if the guy's quote-unquote normal, whatever that means, if the guy's quote-unquote normal, so then it's a shidduch min hashamayim, and she cannot turn it down. And therefore, Yibum will work even if she is not that excited about the proposition. That's normally. Now, let's back up. Let's now go back to Maimer. Now, Maimer, as we pointed out, is a rabbinic institution. When the Chachamim legislated this Yibum betrothal, What are they making it look like? Are they making it look like regular Kiddushin? Or is it really stage one of Yibum? The difference would be, just like by the mitzvah of Yibum, it could be done even if she's not a willing participant. So is the same thing true by Maimer? That's what this Braisa is dealing with. The question of whether Maimer can be done Bal Karcha. So, Ditanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Osa Maimer Bivimto Shalami Data. A Yavam does Maimer to his Yavama, and she's not interested. Rabbi Omer Kona, V'chachamim Omerim Lo Kana. So Rabbi says, it works. The Chachamim say, it does not work. My time, the Rabbi Gamar Bibia Divama, Mabia Divama Bakarcha, Av Kiddushin Divama Bakarcha. Rabbi says, look, you know what Maimer is? It's step one, it's stage one of Yibum. And just like Yibum can be done even without her willingness, so to Maimer. And the Chachamim say no. Because what's Maimer? Maimer is a legislation that was done by the Chachamim, which really mimics Kiddushin. And we know that Kiddushin cannot be done against the woman's will. The woman has to be a willing participant in marriage. And that's what the Chachamim did in terms of the legislation of Maimer. In fact, I'm speculating. Okay, this is me speculating, right? Big disclaimer. But maybe then that's maybe one of the reasons why the Chachamim legislated Maimer, so that the institution of Yibum would be done more with the willingness of the woman, as opposed to if it were just left to the mitzvah of Yibum, where it does not need her willingness. But that, I say that as a maybe. I don't have a source for that. But
it's a rabbinic institution that can remove a Torah.
Good point. Very good point. Right. It doesn't speak well to my suggestion, okay, but that's fine. Again, I'm just speculating. I don't know if what I'm saying is so. Ben Mike Mifligi, Marsava Mila Diva Mimila Diva Mavala Mela for Marsava Mila Dushan Mimila Dushan Avala Mela. And then the Gemara gives us another line of explanation, which at this point seemingly it's just a redundancy, meaning that according to Rabbi, Maimer is more like Yibum. And according to the Chachamim, Maimer was more like Kiddushin. Okay, either way. So maybe that's what the Braisa was referring to. When the Braisa says he wanted to do Maimer, but he didn't do Maimer, it means he was trying to force Maimer upon her. And the Braisa is saying that doesn't work. Why? Because the Braisa is rejecting Rebbe's viewpoint that Maimer Balkarcha would work. Okay, good. Now we have a better understanding of what the first case of the Braisa meant. We move on. It's case two of the Braisa. Okay, this is case number two. In case number two, All the second brother did, all Shimon did, was just maimer. Nothing more than that. Now, Rabbi Shimon Ahaya. Now, what did Rabbi Shimon say? That in such a scenario, so the third brother, Levi, can do Yibam or Chalitza to one of them. Which one? Gemara clarifies. Ahaya kai. Ilem anola lo ach vachachachas abamaymer. Hamar benola v'selfi avan lo palig. Rabbi Shimon. When the Gemara says, well, we know, in other words, the conclusion was that if it was born and then, if Levi was born and then Shimon did Yibam, so Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue. Clearly, it has to be illustrating a scenario where first Shimon did Maimer, and then Levi was born. And then the Gemara just simply explains that when we say that Levi can do Yibam, he's obviously referring to Shimon's widow, not Reuven's widow. Reuven's widow, Suffolk. Meaning, because again, Rabbi Shimon vacillates on what Maimer accomplishes. Either it does everything, or it does nothing. So Reuven's widow, with Maimer being done to her by Shimon, is she Shimon's wife? I don't know. Meaning, because Rabbi Shimon doesn't know what Maimer does. It either does everything or does nothing. So we'll call her, we'll file her under a suffix. What about Shimon's wife? Shimon's wife is Shimon's wife. So clearly, when Levi is doing Yibam, he's doing it to Shimon's wife. She's a vaday, and he's not going to be doing anything to Reuven's widow. Good. Okay. Period. All right. That takes us to what really where we should have ended off yesterday, and now we continue. We are on the very bottom of Yitzes Amud Beis, and now we get to leave. We're not leaving the world of Eishes Achir Shalaya Ba'olamo, but we are now going to at least ask some basic questions. You know how the Gemara works? It does this all the time. Right? It goes over some of the more detailed, the more nuanced discussion, and then it takes the lens back and takes an overall view of what is happening over here. We're now looking at the second Mishnah. Let's think about the second Mishnah for just a moment. It's very straightforward. The second Mishnah, Reuven was married. Shimon was a contemporary brother. Reuven dies, and Shimon then marries his Yavama. He does the mitzvah of Yibam. And then Levi is born. So Rabbi Shimon's position, as I stated back when we did the second Mishnah, so Rabbi Shimon's position is, okay, so if and when Shimon dies, Levi will do the mitzvah of Yibam. Oh, what about the fact that she was the widow of Reuven? Not when Levi was born. Levi was born into this world, and she at this point in time was the wife of Shimon. And Levi and Shimon are contemporary brothers. So Rabbi Shimon says in such a scenario, Levi has an opportunity to do the mitzvah of Yibam. And what do the Chachamim say? No. She's a wife of a non-contemporary brother. Meaning historically, she once upon a time was the wife of Reuven. To which the Gemara now is going to ask a really simple, straightforward question. So what? Meaning when Levi was born, she is Shimon's wife. Meaning Rabbi Shimon sounds right. So what's behind the position of the Chachamim? Good. That's what the Gemara is about to ask. Yosef Rav Menashe, five lines from the bottom of the Amud. Yosef Rav Menashe bar Zvid kamei Rav Huna b'Yosef v'kamei my time to Rabbi Shimon. What's the reason behind Rabbi Shimon? To which the Gemara says, what? My time to Rabbi Shimon? He done my time. Oh, ba matzah beheter. V'lo amda alav sha achas b'ister. We stated pretty clearly. The reason behind Rabbi Shimon is that when Levi's born, this woman now was already the wife of Shimon. When Levi's born, matzah ba beheter, finds her in a state of heter. She wasn't Reuven's widow. She was Shimon's wife. Okay, so that's easy. Ela my time at the Rabbanan. I'll tell you what's not easy. Understand the Chachamim's viewpoint. So ama krav alacha lo li isha v'yibma. So here now we're going to explain the Chachamim, and here it's going to be nuanced. The Chachamim say, looking at the pasuk of Yibum, he marries her, he meaning the Yava marries the Yavama, and Yibma, that word is so extraneous. He marries her, and he's miyabim her. Well, the pasuk already described that with Lekuchen. So what does it mean, v'yibma? Adayin yivumim harishonim aleha. She still has the status of being Yavama, even after she was married. And therefore, the way the Chachamim view this, is that yes, when Levi was born, he only knows her as Shimon's wife, but she never loses her status of being Reuven's widow. So the Gemara says, oh, I don't know, if that doesn't sound right. Ella hadidnan. It's not semantics. Because now if Shimon dies, she is Eshes Acher Shelo Yabo Lamo. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Remember what we said. We saw this in the Gemara earlier, about 2 weeks ago in the Masechta, in Daf Yomi terminology. That when the Yavam marries his Yavama, you know what that makes her? His wife. The Amr of Yossi Barchinem Alami Shemagasha Beget. And what does that mean? It makes him his wife. Obviously, she's his wife. No, it's not so obvious. Let's say after doing Yibam, he wants to terminate the marriage. So what does he do? Gives her a get. What do you mean gives her a get? Maybe he should be doing Chalitza. No, once he marries her, it's his wife. Shemagasha Beget Umachzira. And furthermore, if he wants to remarry her after divorce, he could do so. Right, you could have made the argument. Yeah, as long as she didn't marry in between, you could have made the argument. What are you talking about, Eishasach? No, once he marries her, that's it. It's his wife. So hasam nami lema v'yima dan yivam arishon namala v'tibay chalitza. And the Gemara says, I understand. If your analysis for the chachamim that even after marriage she still has a yibam status, she's still the widow of Reuven. So if that's true. So if he wants to terminate this marriage, so give her a get and do chalitza in order to get rid of the zika. Meaning what the Gemara is proposing now is that maybe the zika never goes away, even after he marries her.
Shouldn't her having a child be a fine marriage? I mean, if she has a child, then the yibum goes away.
You could make that argument, but the Gemara right now is just looking at her from a status perspective. So lema v'ima dain yivam erishon ala b'tibay chalitza shani asam da'am akram v'lachol l'isha kem shalacha naso kishto l'chol davar. So to which the...
Just reminding everyone, those who normally daven in the Beit Midrash, we're going to daven in the main shul today.
To which the Gemara says, no. The Pasuk says, you marry her, that's it, it's his wife. Ihach, ihach enami. So the Gemara says, okay. But now you just debunked the whole understanding of the Chachamim. The Chachamim says, no, she still has her Yibam status. No, she doesn't. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, yeah, but don't forget about the extraneous word. Don't forget about Yima. Umara Isa. So the Gemara says, so now basically you're dancing in two different chasnas. Number one, you're making the argument that it's a full-fledged wife. So that if he wants to terminate the marriage, he'll do get. On the other hand, you're saying that by Eshes Achiv Shalaya Ba'alamo, she's still viewed as a widow of Reuven, even though when Levi was born, she was already married to Shimon. She still carries with her the vestige of being Reuven's widow. Well, you got to choose. Either it's Shimon's wife, Legamre, or it's Reuven's widow. You seem to be straddling these two sides. Mistabra, Shadi Hetera Ahetera, Vishadi Isura Ahisura. So the Gemara says it can work, meaning both concepts can work in terms of establishing her to be the wife of the Yavam, in order to establishing her as Shimon's wife, in that if he wants to terminate the marriage, he just needs to give her a get and does need to do chalitza. We're going to put heter on top of heter, meaning heter releasing her is a function of Shimon marrying her. And why is that called heter upon heter? Because Shimon shouldn't be able to marry her. She's his brother's wife. It's Eshazach. The Torah was matir. So once the Torah is matir, so then we're going to kind of, if you will, extend the heter to the point where if Shimon wants to terminate, all needs to do is give her a get. As far as Isser is concerned, when we say Isser, we're talking about Eshazach Shelo Yabo Lamo. We're gonna stack Isser on top of Isser, meaning she's Eshazach, and for Levi it's a non-contemporary brother. So we're gonna put her Yavama status upon her even after she's married to Shimon, so that for Levi she will always be considered the non-contemporary brother of Reuven, and she will always be considered the widow of Reuven. Okay. Let's finish. Let's get to the Mishnah. Okay. So Ula Rabbi Shimon Damar Hol Ba Masa Behetav Alam Dalav Shah Achas Beisir. So the Gemara says, now look, let's revisit Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint. Rabbi Shimon says that if Levi's born and Shimon already married the Yavama, Reuven's widow, so Shimon says that Masa Behetav. Levi's born into a world where this woman was mutter to him. Mutter meaning she was already now Shimon's wife. And again, Rabbi Shimon does not accept this idea that she has a vestige of Reuven being Reuven's widow. Fine. Elamiata, so the Gemara says, okay, let's take this idea and let's translate it to another case. Okay, the case over here is a little bit complicated, but I'll try to make it as simple as possible. Let's say two step-siblings marry. Okay, it's happened before, it's totally permissible. Right? In other words, so a husband and wife are remarrying. Both of them, for both of them, it's a second marriage, and they come in with children. The children are step siblings to one another, and life happens. They get married. Okay, and then after the two of them get married, so then the parents have a child. This child to the two of them is a half sibling. Okay, so. So we have the two step-siblings getting married. And afterwards a brother is born. Let the brother do yibum. Because when this new brother is born, meaning he was born into a world where they're now married. Even though, had he been born earlier, before their marriage, he would be a sibling to both of them, and obviously would be prohibited. But he was born into a world where they're already married. So Rabbi Shimon, let's take your argument, and let's take it to its what would seem to be its logical conclusion, that if now in the event that his brother died, so he could do Yibum with his sister, with the new brother's sister, so Isra Chosal Echanazo. So the Gemara says, but you know that's not right, because it's his sister. And where did the Isser go? So Hachanami, Isser Achir Shalaya Balam Aleichanazo. So the Gemara says to Rabbi Shimon, okay, but I think I got you now, because let's look at your case. Where did the Isser of Eshes Achir Shalaya Balam go? Ha'isur de Leisleiter, Ha'isur de Yisleiter. Gemara says, wait a second, there's a basic difference. In the step-sibling scenario that you just illustrated, the Isser doesn't go away, meaning she's your sister. That Isser doesn't go away. In the case of Yibum and Eshes Ach, that Isser does go away. The Torah says that in the event that there's a Yibum opportunity, the Isser of Eshes Ach simply goes away. So you can't compare those two cases. So even though Rabbi Shimon does have this viewpoint of when he was born, he found the scenario, a state of heter that only works in Eshes Achiv Shalabi Balamo, and that won't translate to any other type of erva. Okay, stop over here. Tomorrow we start from the Mishnah.